But it's not just fish that are exposed to oil-based pollution. Bad air quality is now considered to be one of the leading causes of heart attacks and strokes worldwide. Dave Newby at the University of Edinburgh has been investigating how.
People have observed for quite a while that high air pollution has bad health effects, and that's been known since the mid-1900s. What people have appreciated more recently is that beyond the obvious that air pollution can make your breathing bad, it actually increases the risk of heart attacks and strokes. And so that's where I start to become interested, because there's this association of air pollution and you having heart attacks and heart disease. And not only getting it over time, but also there's evidence that it actually triggers a heart attack.
This isn't just because people who are struggling to breathe, that's just a stressful situation and that makes them have a heart attack. There's something more going on.
That's right, yes, it's more than that, because actually the pollution that's in the air, actually sometimes it's imperceptible. The particles that are in the air are so small you can hardly see them. So it's not that. People keep asking, well, what's the mechanism of that? You know, okay, you see this association, but it doesn't make sense to me. So what we did, we set off on a program of work to look at the mechanisms of how air pollution could do this. And it was, in many ways, quite intriguing. So what we did was we worked with some investigators in Sweden. We went there because they have a unique exposure chamber. And they have, of course, a Volvo engine. So what we did was we had this diesel Volvo engine and we diluted down the exhaust and then fed it into this chamber, which, of course, did raise some eyebrows, I have to say.
Hang on a minute. You put people in a chamber and you blow in car exhaust for them to breathe?
Absolutely. So
how did you get that through an ethics committee?
Yeah, that's exactly what the British Heart Foundation said to me. And what was quite interesting is when I pointed out to them the levels that were inside this chamber were lower than the levels outside their front door. Because at that time, they were in a very, very polluted area of London, which was actually the highest levels in London were recorded just around the corner from them. So I said to them, if it's ethical for them to invite me down from Edinburgh to London, to their polluted city, and go on their committee, then it's ethical for me to do that. And it was diluted, of course. So the levels that we have are the levels you would expect at the roadside of a busy road. And so this was relevant to what we see in the cities. And we got people to exercise gently in those chambers to breathe in this. And then we looked at how their blood vessels responded. And what we found was that the blood vessels were more tight and more constricted. They didn't relax as much. And the blood that flowed through it was much more sticky and much more likely to cause blood clots. And those two things together, blood vessels that aren't relaxing, that are tight and have blood clots, are just the recipe for heart attacks and strokes.
Do you know what component it was in the smoke that was doing that?
Yes. So in the exhaust, there are various different things. There are gases, but there are also these particles. They're really tiny particles, though. They're so small you cannot see them by the naked eye. They're what we call nanoparticles, really tiny. And it seemed to be those particles. They're covered in bits of metal, bits of unburnt fuel, organic components, metals. And these things can react quite nastily to biological tissues. And what we were able to show is that it seems to be these tiny microscopic particles that seem to be causing the problem.
Just because you breathe them in, or do they go further afield in your body once you breathe in?
Yeah, that's a very important question. And actually, if I'm truly honest, we don't really know for certain, but there are three potential mechanisms. One, it goes into the lung doesn't like it and sends out messages to the rest of the body. Another mechanism is that they go into the lung, deep into the lung, they get gobbled up by the cells of the body, the immune cells, and then they go into the bloodstream, and there they might harm the blood vessels. Or they could even go straight into the bloodstream. We have some preliminary data that these particles are so tiny, so small, that they can cross cell membranes and get into the bloodstream. There they might actually cause the furring up of blood vessels that cause heart attacks and strokes.
What about actually monitoring the real life experience of people in a real life situation to see what their exposure is? Can we do that? Do we have that sort of data?
We do. So we can use personal monitoring. So you wear this lovely backpack, which monitors the quality of the air. It measures the particles, the mass, the number of particles, the gases in the air. And so you've got sort of like a portable laboratory on your back. And we walked around Beijing just before the Olympic Games, and we were able to see the quite dramatic levels of air pollution there. We actually then went on to do a study where we got patients to wear a face mask. It's an industrial mask. So this is not the simple cloths that you see people put in front of their faces. But this is a mask that's very efficient, takes out a lot of these particles. And when we got people to walk around just for one day with these masks on, their blood pressure was lower, their breathing was easier, and some of the measures that we did of how much heart stress they were under were much lower. So actually stopping breathing in some of these particles in the air around you does seem to have benefits for the body.